Okay, brothers and sisters, we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Blue Bible in 640, page 640, Red Bible, page 523. This is the word of the Lord. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south, goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been done already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you granted us in your word. We ask this morning that you please let us treasure this up in our hearts, for us to be pierced in our hearts and minds, for us to wake up to realize the vanity, as the preacher says, of the world. May we look to you, learn from you, and be sanctified by you this morning in your word. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our culture, and likely most of us, as a consequence, it is obsessed with progress. It's obsessed with progress. And in pursuit of progress, we are obsessed with control. We generally believe that man is on a linear progression. If you're going to look at the whole history of mankind as a graph, you might think we started back here in the caveman days, and we just keep going up and up and up, and it gets better and better and better until eventually utopia. If you're a communist or a Marxist, that's what you would believe. But, you know, we think that we can get smarter. I mean, look at how we are now. We continue to get smarter, to live longer, to make more money. We advance technology. We liberate the oppressed. We keep getting more and more rights. We cure more diseases, etc. And our progress is aided by our pursuit of control. We believe we can control creation itself. In light of our scripture reading from Psalm 104, how does that sit with us? We believe that we can just make highways and dams and bridges, planes, trains, and automobiles. Medicine, air conditioning, electricity, the internet, submarines, planes. But both mankind's progress and control are vapor. They are vapor, striving after the wind. It's smoke. It doesn't exist. Life under the sun, as the author of Ecclesiastes writes, it is not linear progression. It's not linear progression. It is cyclical. All of life is on a treadmill. It's on a cycle that just keeps going up and down and up and down and up and down. And believing that we are in control of our lives under the sun is as absurd as George Bailey in A Wonderful Life thinking he can just lasso the moon and pull it down for Mary. We no more make progress or are in control than a hamster is in his cage on a wheel. Think about it. A hamster is given a cage created by someone outside of his cage. like God, created the earth. A hamster is put into a cage and nothing changes. His bedding is given to him. His food is given to him. His water is given to him. He's got a cool wheel and he has a tunnel that he can go through. But when he enters that tunnel, he just pops right back into the same cage. And when he jumps on that wheel, no matter how many thousands of miles that he puts on it, no matter how exhausted he gets from running it, he gets right off of it in the same place that he got on. Tired, having gone nowhere. This is the absurdity of the world in which we live today. Our life is like a candle that was just blown out. Anybody here blown out a candle before? The smoke fills the room. It comes right off the wick. It goes straight up. It looks dark. It looks black. It looks gray. And it looks like you can just reach out and grab it. But when you do, it gets farther and farther away. It dissipates and it disappears. And you realize it really wasn't anything to begin with. Life under the sun is vapor. That's what the word vanity means. It's vapor. And the main point of this passage is the opening passage for the whole book. It's kind of the thesis statement if you are reading a college paper. It's the main point of the whole book. And the main point for this passage is that for life, for this life to be gained, you must learn that it is vapor. For this life to be gained, you must learn that it is vapor. You must learn that it is the smoke right after a candle is blown out. Now, Solomon begins a quest here in our passage. And the quest is to answer verse 3. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? And everything after this, basically until chapter 6, is him trying to answer, what do you gain from what you do in this life? And he treats wisdom and pleasure and work and wealth and all these other things as he continues going into the book. What does man gain? And the answer is nothing. And he answers it with a poem. This is one of the characteristics of wisdom literature that we need to be aware of. We gain nothing for all of our toil under the sun. Why? There's five reasons why. First, nothing is in our control. Nothing is in our control. Second, nothing changes. Nothing changes. Third, there's nothing new. There's nothing new. Fourth, there's no satisfaction. And fifth, you won't be remembered, and you'll die. It's a very uplifting book for such a festive time of year. Nothing's in our control. Nothing changes. Nothing's new. There's no satisfaction to be had. There is no remembrance of anything that happens, and you die. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. All is vapor. All is meaningless. Now, before we proceed, vanity, I want to describe that. Vanity means that which is vain, that which is futile, it's worthless, that which is of no value or profit. The Hebrew word is hebel, and it's the word for smoke or vapor or meaninglessness. The word vain means foolish or useless. So the preacher is saying all life is just as foolish and useless and meaningless as vapor. It is vapor. It is seemingly there, but not really graspable. That's a word. It is like smoke. And to demonstrate that life is vapor and meaningless, the preacher simply declares it in verse 2. If we want to know what he's doing, if we want to know what he's trying to get across to us, in verse 2, he just pronounces vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. If you want to know what he wants us to understand, it's vanity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, right? In one sentence, vanity, 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 vanity. All of life is vanity. He simply declares it in verse 2, and then he asks a rhetorical question. He asks a rhetorical question in verse 3. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Now, a rhetorical question, it's not actually a question that he's looking for an answer for. Is the Pope Catholic? Do I want one of Sally's pumpkin rolls this year? Is the Pope Catholic? That's me answering yes, but for some type of an effect. Everyone knows the answer. The answer is assumed. That's what this question is. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? The assumption is we already know. It's nothing. The purpose of the question is to elicit an emotional effect or a profound, thoughtful response from those who hear it. It's not a technical question like, what color are my shoes? It's meant to be rhetorical. The preacher answers verse 3 with a poem, and the answer is nothing. We gain nothing for toil under the sun. And why would that be? First, nothing's in our control, brothers and sisters. Nothing. Nothing. Did you control when you were born and who to? Did you control where you live and what year you were born and who your parents are and what your genes are and whether you can walk or not or have blue eyes or brown hair or what? No. We think we have control of things as Americans, as individualistic people, as freedom-loving people here in the United States, but we have much more limitations than we think. Nothing is in our control. Look at what he says. A generation comes, a generation goes. The sun rises, the sun sets. The wind blows, the streams flow. Man can do nothing to change this. This is the cycle of the hamster cage in which we live. Grace and I were recently looking at pictures. You know how on your phone, you'll pick up your phone sometimes and it'll say, look at this a year ago. And you click on what your phone says and it shows you pictures a year ago. We're looking at pictures of Jonah just a year ago. And it's amazing how his brief life has changed so much. He's 16 months old, almost 16 months, and he's a completely, totally different person. He's a totally different person. He can walk, he can run, he can say a few words. He can pick things up and he can slap the dogs. And in these pictures, he's a hairless little fresh baby who can't do anything but lay there. Can't even turn himself over. He's grown and changed a lot. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Nothing we can do to stop it. He continues to grow. Sailboats get stranded at sea with no wind, and other sailboats are swamped from too much wind. Hurricanes destroy coastlines. Tornadoes destroy Claremont County. Winds take out power lines. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Niagara Falls pours 3,160 tons of water per second. The Ohio River flows 3 miles per hour. It floods people out of their homes and out of their businesses. It flows 981 miles into the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River flows into the sea. There's nothing we can do to stop it. The dishes get dirty. You clean the dishes. They get dirty again. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Man gains no control for his toil under the sun. The second thing is that nothing changes. Why do we gain no gain at all for toil under the sun? This poem tells us that nothing changes. This cycle that we live in shows us that life is an endless activity of no change. A generation comes and goes. From our house, we can hear CNE. We're pretty close. There's a new class, and they're playing in the band, and we hear all their practices. There's a new class, and they're playing football games on Friday night, and we hear all the screams. There's a new batch of cars on the road that say class of 2026. And next year, there'll be a new class playing band and we'll hear their practices. And next year, there'll be a new class playing football and we'll hear the screams. And next year, there'll be a new batch of cars on the street that say class of 2027, 2028, 2029. Nothing changes under the sun. The earth remains forever, verse 4. It remains forever. Nothing changes. The sun will rise and set. The sun will rise and set. The wind will blow. The streams run to their place, and there they flow again. To the young, the older generation is old-fashioned and slow and out of touch. And to the old, the younger generation is disrespectful and untamed. Nothing ever changes. Generation after generation is the same. They are born and they graduate and they have babies and they are married and they die. Nothing changes. There's nothing in our control. There's nothing that changes. We're in a repetitive cycle. And third, nothing is new. There's nothing to be gained under the sun because also nothing is new. And we see this in verse 9 and 10. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It's already been done in the ages before us. Now, you might stop and think, well, listen here, preacher. What about electricity? What about planes? What about the internet? There's nothing new, brothers and sisters. You might think, there's new stuff all the time. We've got electricity. We got cars. We got the internet. We got space travel. We have Elon Musk. We got electric cars. We got fully automatic machine guns. There's nothing new, ladies and gentlemen. None of it changes anything under the sun. None of it. Generations, even with electricity, still come and go. The sun still goes up and down. The wind still blows and comes back. Everything seemingly new has already been done before. Human travel is not new. Human travel has been happening since Adam and Eve walked. Okay? There are new inventions for travel that have, but that's already happened. You might think planes are new. Well, they're just a different mode of what has always been human travel. And guess what? Carriages were invented before them. Cars were invented before space shuttles. They're all just different modes of travel. Travel being the thing that has always been and always will be. There really is nothing new. It's just travel. Human communication has always been. The internet, FaceTime, social media may be new, but guess what? Telephones, wires, and smoke signals were once new too. It's just yet another invention in communication between human beings that has always been. Inventions to facilitate it have happened before. Think of this, music, movies, fashion, none of it's new. Listen, young people, none of it's new. You can go in your grandma's closet and get her clothes out and they're popular again today. Nothing's new. Everything just gets recycled. Have you walked in Target lately? I watch Uncle Buck. I love the movie Uncle Buck. And it's like an 80s movie and he's always in a bowling alley and they have tacky clothes. Those clothes are back on the mannequins at Target right now. Okay? Everything is just recycled. It's all recycled. The fashion of the 70s is the fashion to get again today. The 1965 Beatles song Day Tripper was redone by Yellow Card in 2005. The 1954 movie Rear Window was remade in 1998 and then again with the movie Disturbia in 2007. There is truly nothing new under the sun. And even if they are new to us, or we think they're kind of new, they're only temporarily new, brothers and sisters, because forth nothing satisfies. There's nothing to be gained under the sun because nothing satisfies. Look at verse 8, the second half of verse 8. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Just as the streams flow to the sea and the sea is never full, we strive and grasp the seemingly next new thing to fill us, and it never delivers. We're never full. You give Jonah a new toy, he's done with it in the next day. What is this? It's the favorite thing in the world, and then it just doesn't care about it anymore. We strive to grasp at every next new thing that we think will fill us, but just like the sea is never full, our hearts are never satisfied. Today, we have infinite video games and infinite loneliness, infinite social media, infinite loneliness. We can't even, look, people are terrified when they hear a knock at their front door these days. It scares them. Who is it? They didn't text me. I haven't called. I'm not expecting anybody. This is odd. There's nothing that satisfies. We have infinite videos, infinite music, infinite information here at our fingertips on our phones and tablets, but our eyes and ears are never satisfied. We constantly scroll Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. We are constantly on Zillow and Realtor.com and Facebook Marketplace. We are constantly needing to check the new sales, and we need to shop new cars, and we need to shop new houses. We need the next new video game. We need new guns and more guns. We need new fishing poles and more fishing poles. We wake up in the middle of the night and check our phones. Someone in here has done that or did it last night. Wake up, maybe it's just a pee, but then you're on your phone for an hour and you wonder why you can't get up in the morning. You're never satisfied. All of the videos and music and social media and emails and games and everything that you have, literally any piece of information a human being's ever wanted to have, is at your fingertips, and it's endless, and it never fills you, and it never satisfies you. Nothing satisfies. Americans spend an average of 5 hours per day on their phone apps, not texting and calling, other things, on their phone apps. You can check your settings on your phone and see all the hours of endless phone you've inhaled that never has done anything for you but probably stress you out. You're never satisfied in your heart. Like a child at the toy store, we want, no, we need to have this new toy. We get it, we play with it one day, and it's quickly old. We move on to the next thing. There is nothing that satisfies. The endless cycle repeats. No satisfaction. Look at verse 8a. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. There's no control. There's no nothing new. There's nothing that changes. There's nothing that satisfies us. Though we have everything, a man cannot utter it. It's so weary. Paul says it like this. In Romans 8, he says, because of man's sin, all creation is groaning. It's groaning because it's broken. It's been separated from God. The effects of sin have gone through and separated us from our Creator, separated us from purpose, broken creation itself to where it's just on an endless treadmill of the sun going up and hastening to its place and then coming back and doing it again every single day. And the streams keep going and they flow into the sea, and the sea is never full. And our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes are never satisfied. We fill up ourselves, we fill up ourselves, we fill up ourselves with the next new thing and the next new thing and the next new thing, and we die, never getting anywhere. All creation, all of mankind is stuck in an outside of our control, never changing, nothing new, unsatisfying rut. Full of weariness. We're stuck on a treadmill, constantly toiling with no gain, going nowhere, becoming exhausted with no escape under the sun. And last, we die and will not be remembered. We die. Generation comes, generation goes, and we will not be remembered. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who will come after. That's like, there's going to be future no remembrance of other things. There's no remembrance of later things. There's no remembrance in the future of future things that will become later things later. It is no, objectively, no remembrance. Do you know your grandparents? Around here, that's pretty popular. Jacob knows his grandpa pretty well. They live together. Do you know your great-grandparents? Do you know more than their name and what they look like? Could you tell me what makes them laugh? Could you tell me where they retired from? Maybe some people could. Great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. Not if I wasn't named Woodrow, my great-grandpa's name, I'd think of him once a year, maybe less. My great-grandparents were alive till I was in high school, and I don't even think of them. I don't even know much about them at all. You think you'll be remembered when you can't even remember your own family? You won't be. Can you list 10 U.S. presidents? Not including George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, and Trump. Probably not. Or if you could, you couldn't tell me anything about him. Have you ever heard of Philo Farnsworth? Raise your hand. Died in 1971. He was a boy from Idaho. He created broadcast television. He wrote the blueprint when he was 14 for the first electric TV. He transmitted the first image proving that he could do it. He created the cathode ray tube system, which birthed broadcast TV. Has anybody here heard of Willis Carrier? He created air conditioning. Amen. Martin Cooper. Martin Cooper created the cellular telephone. You know who he is? Have you ever heard of John T. Thompson? Kevin? Man from Newport, Kentucky that created the Thompson machine gun. You don't know any of them. I don't know any of them. People who changed the world. You know the first person to create the printing press? We think it's Gutenberg because we're Westerners, but it came from Asia. I don't know his name. Created the printing press. We will not be remembered, brothers and sisters, and we will die. You and I are but a speck of dust against a backdrop of an incomprehensibly vast creation. We won't be remembered. There is no gain under the sun. There is no control. There is nothing changes. There's nothing new. There's no satisfaction. Nothing is remembered, and we will die. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Vapor of vapor, says the preacher, all is vapor and striving after the wind. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. It's only the way of things if we look under the sun. Under the sun. There is a God in heaven who rules over the sun. Amen. The same sun in verse 5 is described in Psalm 19 as declaring God's glory. And like a strong man, not an exhausted one, who runs his course. The repetition and the orderliness of creation is a testimony to the goodness of God. It is a very proof that there is a God that lives and rules above the sun. And though nothing is in our control, God's Son is in control. The merciful, holy, loving Son of God, Jesus Christ, is working all things for the good of those who love him. Though nothing changes and nothing is new, God is doing something new. And will bring a new heaven and a new earth. And he changes the heart of every believer. He makes them a new creation, literally a new creation. There is change and newness to be found above the Son and above the Son alone. There is a change and newness to be found. That newness can only be found in Jesus Christ, who says in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I am making all things new." Though nothing satisfies under the sun, Christ satisfies eternally. He satisfies the wrath of God for all who believe. He is the bread of life. He is living water. Those who feast on his body and drink his blood, the Lord's Supper, will never be thirsty or hungry. Though we won't be remembered under the sun, Christ remembers you. He foreknew you before the foundations of the world. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He purchased your salvation on the cross, and he holds you forever. There is remembrance also only in Christ. And though we all die under the sun, he grants eternal life to all who repent of their sin and believe in him. The vapor, the meaninglessness of life under the sun points to Christ's beauty, his radiance, and our need for him. He alone answers the longing in our heart that Ecclesiastes says, he has put eternity, God has put eternity into the hearts of men, and it is only Christ who is above the sun that can grant us what we long for, the truth that we know all exists, eternal life, true life, satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, as we toil exhaustingly in this repetitive life, be assured of your life and newness that comes from above the sun. Though it might not seem like it in this fallen world, we are showered with good gifts from God, good gifts to be enjoyed and to be used for the sanctification of us and the sanctification of others. Therefore, listen, life has gain under the sun. That's why life has gain under the sun, because all of it points to not only the necessity, but the reality of a loving God who is in control of all things, who is bringing newness to life, who does satisfy. The reason why there is ultimately gain under the sun is because we can recognize all things as gifts from God to be enjoyed in their time and to be used for sanctification and glorifying him, and coming from ultimately the place that is above the sun that we will all ultimately go if we believe. That's how life has gain. That's how life is to be enjoyed. And for those here trusting in life under the sun, it's hopeless. You have to know, it's hopeless. For those trusting in life under the sun, like career or sex or money or family or education or things or campers or guns or new homes or worldly wisdoms and philosophies and education, or just relying on yourself, you will never be satisfied. You will die. You will not be remembered, and the beat goes on without you. The sun will go up and the sun will go down, and the Ohio River will flow and the Mississippi into the sea, and the winds will blow and the winds will come back again, and a generation will die along with you. You won't be remembered. So I implore you, take hold of the eternal life that comes from above the sun, from the Son, Jesus Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Repent and believe. Have eternal life, true newness, true satisfaction. Be remembered forever by the one who remembered you on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this bleak and dark backdrop of Ecclesiastes. that enables your Son, Jesus Christ, to shine more radiantly in our lives. We ask, as we ponder all the wisdom in Ecclesiastes, all of the thoughts in Ecclesiastes, that you have us see Jesus Christ, have us see you in a light that we've never thought of before, and allow us to just be rid of this world, to give it a backseat in our lives, to have a Christ-centered and a heavenly kingdom-centered view in all that we do. And we ask and we beg you to have it edify and sanctify our hearts, this word of yours in Ecclesiastes, to where we just rid our lives of idolatry and find security only in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you will stand.